Holy smokes. There's a lot of kids. That's a lot of kids. That's mine, yeah. I've been needing that. I thought you were going to save it for me tomorrow. Well, let me just say I'm happy to be here. It's good to be here. It's good to see that we've had to get chairs and extra pews. We welcome our guests. We welcome everyone. And let me just tell you, I need you to pray for me and my wife. My wife has 3 more weeks until vacation. I have 3 more weeks until vacation. I'm ready to go. She's ready to go. She's got 2 kids all the time, and then me. All right. And that's maybe 4 or 5 with me in there. All right. But just pray for her that she can hold on until we go. And this morning I want to share a little bit of memory of a vacation I took to the Smoky Mountains when I graduated high school in the summer of 2010. I remember going, I know it was a whole 7 years ago, okay? A whole 7 years ago I graduated high school, and before I had decided to join the Marine Corps or whether I was going to go to college or whatever I was going to do, I went on vacation with my family, and we went to the Smoky Mountains, and the same Smoky Mountain region that Scott and Lynn drove through. And I just remember that vacation. I just remember the beauty of the mountains. If you've ever been to the Smokies, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And you just see green everywhere, and there are beautiful trees everywhere. And I just remember that vacation we went, and I just remember the log cabin that we stayed in. And I definitely remember that we didn't have very good cell phone service, okay? Because every 18-year-old needs cell phone service before anything. And I just remember, though, waking up early in the morning, waking up, walking to the kitchen and grabbing a can of Dr. Pepper and going to sit on the deck with my grandparents. And they were there, and they would sit on the deck, and they would sit by the hot tub, and they would have their coffee, and we would just sit there. And it was just so beautiful. It was just so peaceful to literally sit there in the mountains on the deck of this beautiful log cabin and to just sit there on those nice, crisp August mornings it was. And it was just beauty. And the sights were marvelous. And I remember it. And I remember going to the mountains. I definitely remember shopping and eating at every good restaurant. And I remember, you know, seeing all of these sights. But I just think back about it. And the first word that comes to mind when I think about it is the word peaceful. Have you ever had that vacation where it was just like, this is just peaceful? Whether you're peaceful is on the beach, or whether you're peaceful is on a lake or on a boat, or whether you're peaceful is out in the middle of the ocean surrounded by sharks and whales on a big boat that could easily sink at any time. I mean, is that your peaceful? I don't know. That's not mine. Okay? God created me to walk and maybe to run occasionally, but to never be in the ocean by myself. That's not my peaceful. My peaceful was just sitting there on the front porch of this nice log cabin, sitting there enjoying the sunshine and enjoying the beauty of Tennessee and the mountains of North Carolina. When I look back, I think what made it so enjoyable, what made it so beautiful, what made it so peaceful, was the simple word, rest. Who here is tired? Are you physically tired? Anybody? I am. I was up at like just after 5 and finally woke up like just before 6, and both girls were up, and then both girls were cranky. Daddy was cranky, and my wife had all of us to deal with, and she is tired. And who here had a long week? Everybody probably had a long week, right? I mean, some of us sat in a vehicle for hours on end and then still made it to church, right? I know everyone was expecting the pews, so I'm glad you all came out for that, but you had me instead of the pews. But we're all probably tired. But I remember that vacation, just sitting on the porch, sitting in the log cabin, going with my family and seeing all these beautiful sights. And I just remember that there was no school. I had no school. I just remember I had no job. I had no work during that time because I just quit my job so I could go on vacation because I didn't have any vacation days built up in the 3 weeks that I worked. So I just quit my job. I just said, forget it. I'm going on vacation. Okay, not wise, all right? Not wise to do, but at 18 and getting ready to leave for boot camp, I didn't care. But I just remember I had no obligations to worry about. I had no responsibilities urgent. I just remember being able to rest physically and emotionally and spiritually rest. But if I was to be honest with you today, that's not something I'm very good at. I can easily kill half an hour and sit on Facebook and sit on the couch. Anybody good at that? But I'm not resting. I'm reading. Or I'm scrolling. Or with some of you in your Facebook posts, I'm laughing. Maybe even crying. But if I can waste a half hour to an hour, I can sit in front of the TV and watch a ball game for a couple of hours and just waste it, but not really rest. I can go outside and you know, pick cucumbers for hours on end and just forget about everything else, but I'm not really resting. I'm not really resting and relaxing my body and my soul. And this morning I want to ask this one question. I want you to ask yourself this one question as I ask myself this question. When was the last time I rested? When was the last time I rested? I mean, really, when was it? I'm not talking about just laying on the couch, you know, and being lazy, watching soap operas or Fixer Upper or anything that you watch. I'm not talking about the time that you just slept in because you over, you know, slept your alarms or your phone died in the middle of the night. I'm talking about literally disconnecting from everything around you, actually turning the phone off completely, actually turning the TV off, not just muting it and not just changing the channel to something you don't like so you don't pay attention. I'm talking just a complete disconnect and a complete connect to who God is and what God's done. When was the last time you rested? Can anyone here be honest enough to say that you've rested within the last week? I mean, a soul resting time where you disconnected and connected to Him. We had two, maybe three. Not me. Huh? How long? Hour. Oh, you don't get it, Ron. You don't get it. I'm talking a good hour of just resting and praising God. What if we spent more time on our knees praising Him than we did on Facebook reading posts? What if we connected and rested in that way? What if we spent more time singing songs to Him, even though it's completely off key, and even though we're by ourselves? What if we sang songs to Him rather than voicing our opinion on people's face on social media? What if we took time to just rest in who God is and what He has done for us? And that's what I want to look at today. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis chapter 2. And I want you to ask yourself this question. When was the last time I rested? When was the last time I rested? And then when you leave here, maybe you will consider resting. Genesis chapter 2, starting in verse 7. And we're going to the garden. And in the garden, there's a lot of imagery. There's a lot that happens in the garden, even though it's not in the scriptures very long. There's a lot that takes place. And in here, we're going to read this, and we're going to, you know, whether you write in it or highlight it or just read it or just think about it, I want you to take this image that we get here and ask yourself, am I doing this? And by the end of this, over the next few minutes, I think we'll be able to kind of reevaluate how we rest and what we do when we rest and where we go and who we do it with. So let's read here, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 through 9. The Bible says, "Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living creature." Okay, that in itself is a sermon. I'm not going there today. All right? I'm not going in the fact that you are a lifeless body without the breath of Jesus and the breath of God in your soul. I'm not going there today, but I want to remind you that you are lifeless without Him. You are lifeless without the great I Am and the God Almighty. But the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east. And there He put the man whom He had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is, and this is where I want you to pay attention, every tree that is pleasant to the sight. And the next part here, good for food. So he made spring up every tree that is good, that is pleasant to the sight and is good for food. And it goes on to say that the tree of life was in the midst of the garden and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We know that. But today I want to focus on this part where it says, pleasant to the sight and good for food. If you're highlighting, if you're underlining, if you're writing, that's what I want you to think about and ponder over the next few minutes. Pleasant to the sight and good for food. You know, as I said earlier, some of us are really bad at resting. Some of us don't rest at all because we have jobs. I mean, there's always something to do, isn't there? There's always something to do. There's always laundry to fold. There's always somewhere to go. There's always someone to see. There's always something to do. There's always kids to tend to. And some of us get so caught up in our everyday lives that we miss out on a key element of our being. So much time is spent on chasing the kids around or running them all over or chasing the grandkids or running errands. We get caught up at work. We get caught up with family. Some of us, raise your hand if you're guilty, have a hard time saying no. No, I can't do that. I can't go there for the weekend. No, I can't do that this evening. Some of us have a really hard time of just saying no. And we get so caught up in all of these things, and we're so concerned with, you know, what we have to do or what we need to do that we miss out on what God has already done and what God has created for us. You know, we are constantly rushing. We are constantly rushing that we experience. That's grammatically poor. Who put that on there? Who? Michaela, that's why she left. We are constantly rushing that we experience no relaxation. I did that probably last night at 12:45. Okay, that one was the one I was wording around and changing, and I should have just eliminated it totally. All right, but who's guilty of saying this? I'm going to ask you two questions. Just raise your hand if you're guilty. Who's guilty of saying this? We really need to evaluate our schedules. In other words, we need to slow down a little bit. Or, boy, we have a lot going on. Anybody ever say that? Anybody ever say, boy, let's just try to take one night for ourselves and let's just try to enjoy a dinner, or let's just go to a movie, let's just go to a game, let's just sit around the pool, let's just build a fire and let's make s'mores and let's just do something. But we have a hard time of saying no, and we have a hard time of disconnecting with everything going on. And this is what I want you to think about. If you go back to the verse, please. What we're going to look at is we're going to look at this statement of every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food as an image of how to rest. Because some of us at times, we're so concerned with what we have to do that we miss out on what God has already done and what God has created. And this is what I want you to do. I want you to think of the garden. Okay, I want you to, in your mind, think of what the garden may have looked like. Because here's a little fun fact. The original Greek translation of the Hebrew, the first Greek translation known as the Septuagint, which was taken of the Old Testament, they translate into Greek, their language from the original Hebrew, used this word paradisos. And this is what we get the word paradise from. So our word paradise is rooted in this Greek term, and it would lead us to believe that it would look like a royal park, like a beautiful royal park with beautiful hanging baskets, you know, and the crisscross lines in the grass because, you know, it just had to look that way, and beautiful designs in the shrubs, and everything was just beautiful. I want you to think of the most beautiful garden or yard or park that you've ever seen. And I want you to just think and remember what it looked like, because this is what it looked like. It was pleasant to the sight and it was good for food. It was beautiful. It was beautiful for a reason. And it produced food. So God plants the trees that produce food. Why? Because he knew that Adam and Eve would need it. If you're like me, wouldn't you admit that God has provided for you what you need? I mean, God provides for us what we need. I would love to have a Cadillac Escalade in the church parking lot. I mean, I got pretty close with the Cobalt, but we're getting there. and the Edge is, you know, I mean, it's real nice. I tried to trade it in. They just didn't offer me as much for as I wanted. And about $5,000, $10,000 off the mark that I was expecting. Not really, but you know, that's what I would want to have. I'd want to have a Cadillac Escalade. I'd want that sitting in the parking lot all nice and shiny, but that's not what I need. You know, what I need is just to get to work on time. And what I need is to just get my kids to where they need to go. And who here drove their car to church today? There's a lot of hands up. If you came in a vehicle today, you know that in that vehicle, you got here because of the gasoline that you put in it. And in that gasoline, you know, it came out of a pump. And in order to get the gasoline from that pump into your vehicle, you had to reach into your wallet, right? I mean, we all love doing that, and thank God it's only $1.89. And we love doing that, but we were able to reach in our wallet. And if you're like mine, it's kind of empty because I do have a wife. I do have kids. But there was enough in there to get the gas, to get to church. And there will be enough in there to get to work. And the reality is that God provides for us what we need. Even if that doesn't mean we have designer clothes, even if that doesn't mean we have million-dollar homes, even if that means we had to eat bologna and cheese sandwiches for lunch and dinner, even if that means we had no money whatsoever, even if that means we were struggling to get by, God provided what we need. God provided what I needed my entire life, which takes me to my next point. The passage says that it is pleasant to the sight. I want you to think about that, and this is what I want you to think. Why does rest, or how does rest relate to the garden? How does rest have anything to do with the beautiful trees and the food and the pleasant, you know, looking garden and the grass and everything? How is it? Because rest is found in who God is. When you really trust in who God is and what He has done and what He has created for us, that is where you find rest. It's kind of like when Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, "Come to me, all who are weary, all who labor, all who are heavy laden, all who are tired, come to me and I will give you rest." And this morning I want you to think of a physical rest, but more than physical, I want you to also think of a spiritual rest for your soul. And the only place that we can have an ultimate source of rest is the source that gave it all to us, because He gave us all a soul when He breathed His breath of life into us. And when the Bible says that there was trees planted up there that God placed in the garden that were pleasant for sight, did you know people sitting around you, some of them are pleasant for sight? Did you know that? We're not even going to talk about the others, but some of the people around you are pleasant for your sight. And I'm talking more than just your eyes. I'm talking there are people around you who have been a gift from God. There are people around you who have blessed you and you have blessed them. Because the trees that were pleasant for sight didn't have to be there. God put them there. He created those for them to enjoy what He had created. God has put people around you that you didn't have to have, but He knew that you needed them, and He knew that that blessing, that person, that marriage, that job may have been more than what you needed, but because He loves you, He has created something for you. I would say all of us could say, if we were honest, that at times in our lives, God has blessed us beyond our need, right? I mean, God has blessed me beyond my need. And my prime example is my wife. I do not deserve her by any means. And I am still awful at times. I am still terrible at times. But God blessed me with her. God blessed me with a woman who was loving and nurturing and extremely patient. Extremely patient. Because I can be terrible to deal with at times because some things go out of order, and it just kind of sets me off. And if you're a husband, you should be thanking God right now for the beautiful woman that He placed next to you. I thank God for that. I thank God that I don't have a Cadillac Escalade, because then I would be a lover of money, because that's just how I'm wired. And I thank God that He has provided me with a job that I can afford that Ford Edge and the gas. And I thank God that he has provided me a job that I can support my family. I thank God that he has provided me with a blessing beyond my measure in this very church. All of you people who have been so good to us have been a blessing only given to us by him. If we were honest, we would probably list many things that God has given us. And if you had your bulletin, if you were writing on the back of it, and if you hadn't wadded it up yet, all right, there is a little bulletin point at the very bottom there that says, God has blessed me with, and there are a bunch of blanks there. This is what I want you to do. I want you to think of the things that God has blessed you with. And let me just give you a little bit of my list. Here's my list. God has blessed me with marriage. God has blessed me with children. God has blessed me with career. And God has blessed me with people. You know, there are times in my life where I've been blessed with things, whether it was a job, whether it was a promotion, a pay raise, whether it was a new friendship. But it was a gift from him beyond my need, because he creates in our garden of life trees that are pleasant to the sight. But here's the thing. Here's how it ties to rest. As I mentioned earlier, rest is found in who he is and what he's created for us, right? That's how we rest. And in order to truly rest and truly disconnect from life and connect with who he is and what he's done for you, you must first understand what he's done. And you could list all of the many things in your life that are gifts from him, things that you don't deserve, things that you never earned, and you could list them, and all of those things are gifts from God. And here's what I want to challenge you with. I want to challenge you with this, especially our school teachers in the house. Y'all are pumped, right, for August to roll around? Y'all have like four more weeks in students? No, they all went over there. What grade are you going into? Sophomore. She's got five more weeks. You got five more weeks, right, Emily? I have her. All right. God bless your soul. All right. You, not so much her. All right. But y'all have like 5 weeks left before school. Any of us got to work year-round? You know, we got to grind year-round. You know, here's what I wanted to do. I wanted to challenge you with this. Identify the things in your life that give you joy. Your family, your friends, your church. And that's what I want you to do. I want you to take time to enjoy them. Because as Adam and Eve walked around the garden, don't you think, I mean, if he was anything like me, he probably would have said these things as he passed the apple tree. Boy, that apple's as beautiful as you are. Boy, those peaches are as perfect as you are. You know, I mean, that's what Adam probably would have said if he's anything like us men, right? I mean, don't we do that? Don't we do that, Jeff? Don't we do those things as husbands? We enjoy our wife so much and we remind her all the time of her beauty. No, we fail. What I want you to do is I want you to identify those things. And I want you to take time to enjoy them. And I want you to rest. I want you to stop running and start resting. Start resting in the one who breathed his life of his breath of life and his spirit of life into you. And I want you to enjoy the next few weeks as a teacher, or the rest of your summer if you got kids going back to school or grandkids going back to school. Enjoy what you have. Here's what I want you to do. You know, sometimes it's really important just take a nap. Anybody ever been satisfied by just taking a nap? Not right now, but I mean like when you get home. Okay, well, you've made it this far. You can surely make it a few more minutes until I'm finished. Okay? Just hang on a little bit longer. But sometimes it's refreshing and it's resting to just literally take a nap. Enjoy the time that God has blessed you with. And enjoy the grandparents that God has given you, parents, to take the kids away. Okay? Or enjoy the neighbors that you have and enjoy the many things that he's given you. And this is what I want you to do. I want you to do them. Sit around a pool with your feet in the pool and eat good food. Go to a lake. Enjoy the nature around you. Anybody here like hiking outside or anything like that? Do it. Enjoy it. Stop running. Take your phone. You know what? This is what I want you to do. I want you to take your phone. I want you to leave it on the table. I want you to just go. And I want you to connect with him. I want you to praise him and enjoy him who has given you all. Because so many times we get caught up in what we're doing. And sometimes we kind of take over the responsibility and the role of God in our lives, because a restless soul is a soul that has taken over that role. Because we have so much to do. We've got to fix all these broken hearts, and we've got to repair this relationship. And I've just got so much going on. I'm just going to keep on going. I'm going to keep on pushing. I'm not going to take any time. I don't have time to stop. I got to keep going. And eventually we run ourselves into frustration. We run ourselves into bitterness, and we run ourselves into all of these things. But I want to look at a quote by Judah Smith. And it says this: true rest is unattainable for people who are obsessed with leading their own lives. But rest is one of the primary postures of those who know Jesus, because we have a God who is in control and is taking care of us. Doesn't that kind of excite you to know that when you go to bed, God still loves you? Doesn't it kind of excite you to know that when your marriage is falling apart and you go to bed angry, God still wants to bless that? Isn't it nice to know that when you are falling apart and when life is spinning out of control and when life is out of your control, you have a God who is still in control? And doesn't it kind of excite you and want you to kind of see who he is or what he has? When life is just raining down, we still have a God that reigns. Isn't it kind of exciting to know that when everything is falling apart, he is the hand that puts it all back together? But until we understand that, until we understand who's in control, we will never rest in the trees that are beautiful and the trees that are pleasant to sight. And we'll never be able to take the trees that are good for food. Because until we know who's in control, we'll never be able to rest. And if you feel weary, if you feel tired this morning, if you're emotionally just drained, if life is just too much right now, you're a little overwhelmed, this is what I want you to do. Ask yourself and pray to him and ask him, who's in control right now? Who's in control? And when you give all to him, and when you surrender all to him and give him full reign, and when you take peace in who he is and what he has created for you, you will find rest and you will enjoy the gifts and the blessings that he has given you. And you will have peace, and you will have peace in him. Let's pray. God, I just thank you for, first of all, who you are. I thank you for what you've done for each and every person here. I thank you for the many gifts that you've given me, the ones that I don't deserve by any means, the ones that I'm so unworthy of, but you are so good, and you are so merciful, and you are so gracious that you continue to bless me and to forgive me and to love me. God, I just thank you. I thank you for planting trees in my life and in my garden that are pleasant to the sight, with friendships, with this church, with a job. I thank you for planting the trees that are good for food, the very things that I need. And God, the most important thing that I need right now is your Son and your Spirit to continue to guide me. And I just ask, God, that we are a church that will leave this place kind of disconnecting and forgetting and stop worrying about the deadlines and stop worrying about everything that's going on and just start to connect to you and find rest in you and enjoy ourselves and enjoy the many gifts that you've given us, because sometimes we neglect them because of everything else we want to do or that we have to do. And I just pray that we are a church that has rest. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.